1 Corinthians 16, 15 to 24. This is it. We are done with 1 Corinthians after this morning. It says this: "You know that Stephanas and his household were the first of the harvest of believers in Greece, and they are spending their lives in service to God's people. I urge you, dear brothers and sisters, to submit to them and others like them who serve with such devotion. I am very glad that Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus have come here. They have been providing the help you weren't here to give me. They have been a wonderful encouragement to me, as they have been to you. You must show your appreciation to all who serve so well. The churches here in the province of Asia send greetings in the Lord, as do Aquila and Priscilla and all the others who gather in their home for church meetings. All the brothers and sisters here send greetings to you. Greet each other with a sacred kiss. Here is my greeting in my own handwriting, Paul. If anyone does not love the Lord, that person is cursed. Our Lord, come. May the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love to all of you in Christ Jesus." Anything jump out to you there in reading that passage? It seems like a farewell, like I'm going to wrap this letter up. Let me say some goodbyes. But anybody notice? Did anything jump out of the page to anybody? And you cheated, because that's what my title. No, but yeah, it is. Paul is being super encouraging, and he's kind of rallying the troops and saying, "Go get them, guys. Let's do this." This is the end of the letter. We have finished 1 Corinthians. So here's Paul's sign-off. In fact, for the last three verses, Paul writes a personal note. It is the same as someone typing a letter, maybe a newsletter, and maybe you guys have seen this, but at the very end, they sign it. So it's a hand signature, and maybe they write a little note to you. I don't know if anybody's ever had that done. We get church newsletters from different organizations all the time, and lots of times there's a personal note scrawled out on the printed letter. That's what Paul is doing here. Back in the day, Paul would have had a scribe. He would have dictated a letter. A scribe would have written it down, but then Paul, at the very end, signs it and says, "Here, let me scratch out a note in my own handwriting, something I really want you to know." This little last bit of the letter is very insightful. It is a charge. It is a rallying of the troops, an encouragement. It is the William Wallace scene in Braveheart, where he's riling up all the troops. He's on the horse and he's like yelling and, that scene, right? That's what is going on here. That's what Paul is doing. Paul is giving them a dose of encouragement to keep fighting the good fight. And this morning, I want us to see the final three pieces of encouragement that Paul wants the church of Corinth to hear. And in turn, what Paul wants us to hear as the church of Jesus. Like, Paul wants us to hear what he is saying. Paul turns around, and he wants us to turn around and be a Paul to somebody else. He wants us to encourage somebody else. He wants us to be Paul to somebody else that doesn't know Jesus yet. There is a spider on my microphone. That is the craziest. Dead spider. Okay. That was just to wake you up. Sorry. No, seriously, he was about to bite me in the face. Paul wants us to be an encouragement to somebody that needs to hear about Jesus. He wants us to take somebody that is new in their faith and help them along. He wants us to grab somebody that is new to Jesus and is new to the faith, because Paul knows that when when you be are new in Christ, that Satan starts working overtime in your life, and you need extra encouragement to make it through. Paul wants us to be that to other people. And to maybe take someone that needs some correction, maybe some redirection, maybe some clarification, and remember that Paul has spent the entire book of 1 Corinthians correcting and redirecting and clarifying the church of Corinth. And why does Paul do this? Not because he's mean, not because he's a tyrant, not because he's not loving. No, Paul is doing those things because he loves them. He loves that church. He started that church. He planted that church. He cries and laughs and hurts because of that church and the things that he hears about what is going on in that church. So the correcting that Paul does here to the people of Corinth was because of his love for them. And here at the very end, he is encouraging to them. He is saying, listen, I know I've said some hard things. I know I've said some tough things. But listen, you be encouraged. He is encouraging because he loves them. Church, in the same way, may our encouragement be the sign of our love for others. Since Heather had COVID and the rest of our family was in quarantine, I was with two kids for 24 hours a day for like 10 days straight by myself, and I almost died, right? Heather went to the ER. Anyway, we received lots and lots of encouragement. Tim forgot that Heather went to the hospital and asked her how she was and if she got sick or not. But he also, every day, checked in on us and wanted to know how we were doing and how Heather was doing and was there anything we could do. And like I said, you know, Katie Mack, she checked in on us and did things for us. And others have called and prayed and asked and brought us meals. And thank you. Thank you, thank you. That is encouraging. And Paul wanted to encourage the people here by reminding them of three things. And the first one is that you are not alone. You are not alone. Paul here is reminding the church, hey, you're not alone. This message was meant to encourage those in Corinth that were doing the right thing. To keep doing the right thing. Even though it seems like everybody else is not doing the right thing, keep doing the right thing. Does that sound like something that we as a church need to hear today? So many people in the world not doing the right thing, but it doesn't matter if even the person next to you is doing the right thing. Do the right thing. Let me encourage you in that. And I think for me, we can relate. So many times we view ourselves as on an island, especially right now. Maybe you normally have a big Thanksgiving, and maybe it just wasn't quite as big as normal. Maybe you didn't travel like you would normally do, or people didn't travel to come see you as they normally would do. And we look around at the world, at our leaders, and we watch the news, and we might think, man, is there anyone out there that is like me at all? Is there anyone out there that is trying to do the right thing? And this is how the Corinthians were feeling. Even in their own church, the majority of them were doing the wrong things, living the wrong way, giving in to their desires that were icky. And Paul here is encouraging, listen, even if it's just you, church, Bowen, even if it's just you, do the right thing. Those few that were trying to do the right thing, were trying to live the right way, to abide by people as living as people of the way. And that's what I hope that we are all trying to do. There have been times, especially since COVID has happened, where I've wondered, is there anybody else out there like me at all? Is there anyone like my family and me? And Paul sees that. And he wants the Corinthians to know that he sees that and he gets that. He sees that trying to live differently on your own can be so very lonely. And Paul wants them to know that you are not alone. Not by a long shot. And so here, that is what he does. He says, Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, they send their greetings. Those were people that were actually people that were from the church of Corinth that had taken the letter that the leaders of the church had written. They took the letter to Paul and they stayed with him for a while. And he's saying, listen, you're not alone. Look at these three guys. They're here. They're living what you are living too. And then he says, and Aquila and Priscilla send their greetings. And I don't know if you know much about Aquila and Priscilla, but if you look in the book of Acts, they're all over it, right? What happened was they were Jewish, and then Jewish Christians that were the church of Jerusalem. Then they got spread out. So you know what they did? They went to Corinth. They go to Corinth and they start a church in their home. And that became the church of Corinth. And then they left there, and they go with Paul, and they set up in Ephesus, which is Asia, right? They go to Ephesus, they set up their home, and they start meeting with people in their homes and having church. And they start the church of Ephesus. And that was their pattern. They just, everywhere they went, they would go, they would set up a house, they would start gathering people, and they would start a church. So, the people of Corinth knew Aquila and Priscilla very well. They knew who they were, and they knew that they were doing the Lord's work, and they knew that they were acting just the way that Paul would have had them to act, the people of Corinth. And then it says, all the brothers and sisters here send greetings to you. Meaning the church in Ephesus that Aquila and Priscilla has started and Paul has been teaching, they in turn are living the way that Jesus has called them to live, that I have taught them to live, and they send their greetings too. He is saying, listen, you're not alone. There are other people out there living the way that we have taught you to live. Please be encouraged by that. And know, you're not alone. And church, I know that maybe we feel today, this morning, like we're all alone. But I want you to look around this room. There are 47 people in this room. That's not a lot. Better than 30. But there are 47 people in this room that are trying to live the way that Jesus has called us to live, that Paul taught us to live. There are people online, our brothers and sisters online that are watching, they're tuning in, and they are trying to live the way that Jesus has called us to live. Be encouraged, you are not alone. And in fact, there are churches all over the state of Illinois and churches all over this country and churches all over the world that are meeting this morning, that are meeting and praying and worshiping and trying to live the way that Paul and Jesus have called us to live. You are not alone. It may seem like it, but you're not. Be encouraged. And then there's this like weird part in verse 20. It says, greet each other with a holy kiss. Or a sacred kiss, depending on translation. And that, for us, that seems to be a head-scratcher. Because, man, I love Tim and I love Aaron, but, man, I'm not kissing them. Mm-mm. Nope. Mm-mm. No thanks, right? Especially right now in the time of COVID, right? You know, nobody's kissing nobody. That's not happening. I'm going to catch something or my wife is going to kill me. Right? But that is because we don't have this in our culture. For us, kisses are either romantic, they're gross or they're evil, right? That's where we are with the slide, right? You know, I kiss my wife and my kids, so that's fine. And then other kisses are wrong or evil. Or I mean, think about this. The most famous kiss in the entire Bible is Matthew 26:49-50, right? So Judas came straight to Jesus. "Greetings, Rabbi," he exclaimed, and he gave him a kiss. Jesus said, "My friend, go ahead and do what you have come for." Then the others grabbed Jesus and arrested him. That's how that happened. We don't want any of that, right? But at this time, in this culture, men would kiss each other on the cheek, and women would kiss each other on the cheek. It was never men, and there was never the, it was inappropriate for a man to kiss a woman that wasn't his wife. So, like, men would kiss men, and that's how it is in other cultures. You guys have all seen this, right? Where other cultures, they, you know, kiss on each cheek, right, or whatever. That's how other cultures are. And that's what he's saying. He's like, listen, hey, you guys need to know you're in this together. The way you know you're in this together is by having friendships and close relationships with people. So greet each other with a holy kiss, meaning be in each other's lives. Be so familiar with each other that you are willing to kiss them as a greeting because you know them so well. You know, you didn't kiss people that you didn't know. Live with each other in a way that you can encourage each other in your faith. And folks, has there ever been a time where we need that more? Not that we need to kiss each other, but man, we could use some encouragement. Times are rough. Times are hard. Businesses are failing. Craziness is all around us. We need to encourage each other. Bowen, you are not alone. You aren't there. There are people in this room. There are people that are tuning in online. There are brothers and sisters in the Dominican Republic that give thanks to you and this church because we have planted that church. And they are praying for you. Many of us are all trying to do the right thing, trying to live the right way, trying to advance the good news, trying to share the good news that Jesus is for us, not against us. The second thing Paul wanted to say was that I am with you. See, in verses 21, it says, "Here is my greeting in my own handwriting, Paul." This is why Paul writes this little note in his own handwriting to let them know that he is with them. Obviously not in person, but in spirit. He is keeping tabs. He is making sure that things are okay and that he is actively keeping up with what is going on. And like we said last week, he is coming to visit them as soon as he can, to see them, to encourage them, to be with them. And notice what brings this all back. He brings it all back to in verses 22 and 23. Not only that he, Paul, is with them, but that he, big H, big E, the great I am, is with them. While Paul may not physically be able to be there with them at this time, Jesus is able. And you guys know that Jesus identified himself as I am. I am. So yes, Paul is with them. But more importantly, Jesus is with them. They are never alone. And then there's this weird thing where it says, like, cursed. You know, you're cursed if you don't, if you aren't in the Lord, and it's just kind of weird. And so, but let me explain that a little bit. Is that the use of the word cursed in verse 22 may seem odd. But if you study the language, Paul uses not Greek for that word. He uses Aramaic, which is the language of the Old Testament, right? He uses an Old Testament word, that word cursed. And that word is actually anathema. And that word anathema immediately conjures up for everyone who is listening, everyone who is hearing, everyone in that day that is reading that blurb, anathema, it conjures up the idea of the Shema. Now, the Shema is the most famous part of text of Old Testament Scripture. Does anyone know what the Shema is? Can anybody quote it? Do we have any Jewish people in here? You will recognize it. It's Deuteronomy verses chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. It says, "Listen, O Israel." You guys remember this? "The Lord is our God, the Lord alone, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength." Does that sound familiar? Jesus kind of quoted it. So that word, anathema, it actually means this idea of curse, but it brings up this idea of the Shema, which is anyone who does not... N.T. Wright says, "Anyone who does not love the Lord, Paul says, must be cursed." The word anathema, which refers to the solemn ban placed on those in the Old Testament who rejected the true God and spurned His ways. Paul doesn't want to end the letter simply with the sense that all will be well and there's nothing to worry about. There are things to worry about in Corinth, and the central to them is the danger that some Christians will be so in love with their own spiritual and philosophical attainments that they forget the love, which includes loyalty, devotion, and obedience, and not just warm feelings, that they owe to the Lord who bought them with His own life and death. Paul uses another Aramaic word here in chapter 22, in verse 22. He uses the word Maranatha. You guys are familiar with the word Maranatha? Another Aramaic word, which some of you know from the choirs and vocalists that made up the group, the Maranatha singers. All right, you guys, they traveled around with the Gaithers and all them, right? The Maranatha singers. And we still sing some of their songs today. But that word Maranatha means "Our Lord come." And served as a reminder from Paul that not only was Jesus there with them, but that He was coming back soon and that we need to be ready. Are you ready? You know, this would be really nice. This would be really easy if Jesus would just come back today. That would be super. All this stuff can just, who cares, right? But until that day comes, we are to be faithful. And we are to long Maranatha. We are long for Jesus' return, but we are to be faithful where we are. Be encouraging to the world and share the good news of Jesus. We have to be ready for Jesus to come and for all of us to extend the grace of Jesus to every single person we meet. Why? Because He is with us. Jesus is with us. And if He is with us, won't we be His mouthpiece? Won't we be His ambassador? Won't we be someone that shares the good news with others that so desperately need it? Number three, last one, Paul says here is "I love you." You see how Paul wraps it all up? "My love to all of you in Christ Jesus." Cold love and warnings of judgment cannot be Paul's final word in this letter, in which grace and love have been the central message. Grace and love are the final items which Paul puts into the fabric of his relationship with the turbulent, energetic, and muddled, and greatly loved people of Corinth. The grace of the Lord, more than adequate to meet every need, and the love which He Himself has for them, a love that no rebellion or accusation can change. One of my life verses, one of the ones that I commit to memory, one of the ones that I try to live by is Romans 12:2. And many of you guys know this one. "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn to know how God's will for you. Then you will know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. This verse is what I strive to teach my kids as I raise them. And I don't do it right all the time. You guys know that. That they don't have to go along with the world. That they don't have to do the things in the same ways that everybody else does. They don't have to think the same way. They don't have to have the same things. But instead, they can give themselves over to God and let Him transform their lives, their thoughts, and their behaviors. They can live differently. My kids won't hear any of that, though, unless I love them. Unless they know that I love them. Paul knew this. And verse 24, the very last verse of the chapter, that's why he says, "My love to you all." He wants them to know, above everything else, even though he's been kind of harsh in his letter, and for good reason, he loves them. Mr. Valentine, my teachers in high school, my youth minister, Brant, one of my best friends in the world, Nathan Davenport, and my wife, all of those people have had to say hard things to me. Things of correction, things of admonition, things of Sobek, get your butt in gear. All of those people have had to say those things, but I would never have heard them unless I knew without the shadow of a doubt that they love me. So before we correct, before we blow a gasket, before we tell somebody they're doing something wrong, before we admonish anybody, my question is, do they know that you love them? Do they? If there's even a question about it, don't say it until they know for sure that you love them beyond the shadow of a doubt. Before we ever stand up and say people are wrong, that people are thinking wrong, that people are living wrong, I want us to encourage others. Have you showed them you cared? Have you showed them, truly showed them, that you love them? Church, in this day and age where there is so much hate, there is so much turmoil, there is so much craziness, may our encouragement be the sign of our love for others. Before anything else, may we be an encouraging people in Jesus.